All right, well, let's start off in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day, Lord. We thank you for your kindness, your grace, and your mercy, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we have to depend on you and that you carry us through the days, that you get us and you get us through the stuff, through the hard stuff, Lord, and you want the best for us. So even when there's hard stuff, Lord, you always make it to where that strengthens us and make us hold on more tightly to you. Because sometimes when we're having good times, we tend to let you go because we think we can do it on our own. Now, Lord, we pray that you would be with me today, Lord, as I bring forth this message, Lord. I pray that you would use me, not let it be anything of myself, Lord, but that you would take control of me. And open our ears, open our hearts and our minds, that we would understand who you are and what you are and how much you truly love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. You know what? To start off, I like to sing. I like, if y'all want to sing, we can sing. Or if you want me to just sing, I can just sing. Ah, here we go. Do you all know I have decided to follow Jesus? Okay, we can sing that one then. How about that? Let's go. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Where Jesus leads me, I will follow. Where Jesus leads me, I will follow. Where Jesus leads me, I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Amen. Thank you. That was good singing. Okay. Today we're going to be in John, the Gospel of John in chapter 6. And we're going to be reading from verse 26 to 37. I might as well do 38. Okay. Just to give you a little background on where we are. I know many of you have been through the book of John. And maybe someone here has not read through it. But in the sixth chapter, maybe I should tell you what happened in the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth, because this all goes together. In the first chapter is where, you know, it says, the Word was with God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the God was the Word. Okay? So, and it goes on to tell you who Jesus is, that he is God. It said he was the light that came into the world, but men were dark and didn't want to see it. In the second chapter, it tells you of his first miracle. It tells you of where he turned the water to wine. Which, don't get me wrong, when I first got saved, all my friends were telling me, yeah, well, you can drink wine because God turned water to wine. But that's not what it was about. You know, so, and he gives you, that's like his first miracles to get you started in what it is. Because John wants you to understand that he is God. And he repeats some of the things that Jesus said, because people told me when I was coming up, oh, he never said he was God. But in the book of John, he says it over and over again. And in the third book, that's where you meet Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a ruler of Israel. He's a priest. Pharisee. Thank you. I tell you, I always need help. He's a Pharisee, and he comes to Jesus by night. He sneaks in, but he comes looking to find out what's going on. And Jesus gives him words that he can't take. Because when he tells him, you have to be born again. So, do I have to go and crawl back in my mother's womb? And that's what we do as people. We always take God where he is talking spiritually. We try and take it for physically. Because all through there, he kept telling them, don't you know you are supposed to be a teacher? You should know this. This is where one of the most famous verses in the Bible is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him shall have everlasting life. And I like the next two verses because I hate to just say that one and leave it. But he says, he came not into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. And whosoever does not believe on him is condemned already. He's talking about you've lost it if you won't believe on him. And as we go through here, in the book of John, he calls the Pharisees the Jews because they're the ruling people. And then we'll go to chapter 5. Oh, did I skip 4? 4. That's one of my favorite ones. That's the woman at the well. In my mind, she was like the first real convert. First of all, she was not looking for Jesus. Jesus said, I must go this way. And they went to a place where Jews don't go. They went to Samaria. And when he got to her and he talked to her, she did the same thing that Nicodemus did. She said, what you doing talking to me? I'm a Samaritan woman. First of all, I'm a Samaritan. Second of all, I'm a woman. Why would you talk to me? And he said, give me the drink. She said, and that's when she told him that. And he said, if you were to ask me, I'd give you living water. And as he goes through, she keeps trying to fight everything he says. Before I got saved, I did the same thing. I fought everything that they told me about God, about Jesus. Why did he kill all the, we had that why word. Well, won't he just let me go? Can't I just get in free? And this woman, she hears his words. And he tells them that, he tells her, because she says, every excuse she can have. We worship in the mountain, you worship in Jerusalem. So which one is right? And he said, it's not going to be a place. It says, God is a spirit, and we're going to worship him in spirit. Praise the Lord, because that's how come we don't have to go to a priest to pray for us. We have direct connections to God by going through Jesus Christ. And the reason why I said she looks like the first convert to me is because do you know what happened after she talked to Christ? She said, there's a Messiah coming. And he says, the person you're talking to, I am. So don't let anyone ever tell you that Jesus never said he was God. Because if you want to, go back to, that's chapter 4 in John. And after he did this, I'm going through the book of John was Wayside. And this stuff was blowing me away. And you think about it, this woman, when she came to the well, the disciples were leaving. And she probably had to get off the road so that they could go. Because first of all, they're Jews. They don't like, women didn't have much space to go. They didn't have any status. And she was a Samaritan too. So when she got to Jesus, she was already a little ticked off. I figured that's why she said that to him. But when they come back, this is like, she left her water pot and ran and told the whole village. I always think of that seed that's supposed to be planted. We're the dirt. Seed comes in and we're supposed to come up 100-fold, 30-fold, 60-fold, whatever. This lady brought the whole village out. So, I mean, this woman, the disciples didn't even do that. And then in the fifth chapter of John, there was a man who had been lame. He had not been able to walk for 38 years. And Jesus comes and says, pick up your bed and walk. And they got upset. The Pharisees got upset because it was the Sabbath. And when Jesus explains to them there, he also gives them a witness for himself. He tells them that there are three things that are witness of him. He said, I won't even tell you myself that I am him. Now, he told the lady at the well because she wanted to know. She said, are you, the Messiah is coming. But the ones that are supposed to know, the same ones that missed his birth, when they asked, he said, I got three witnesses. He told them John the Baptist because they thought of him as a prophet, and he pointed to Jesus. Jesus said because of the words God put in his mouth and the miracles that he did, the signs and wonders. And third was the scripture. Because it all spoke of him coming. From Genesis through, what's the last one, Malachi? Through all of that, through all the Old Testament, it was talking about Jesus. It was showing examples of him as he came. So now, in the sixth chapter, where we're going to go, for those of you that came, we're going to be in John chapter 6, verses 26 through 37. I haven't read it yet, but I'm just giving you a background on what John is about. Now, in the sixth chapter, which we're going to be talking about, Jesus had taken his disciples off into a desert place to just talk to his disciples. And when he got there, he looked up and there were thousands of people there. And he preached to them. And afterwards, they were hungry. And Jesus, he tested his disciples. He said, we need to feed them. Philip said, we couldn't feed all these folks with 100 denarii. Because they said it was 5,000 men. So I'm thinking it's like over 15,000 people because they brought their women, their wives, their children. And I'm being nice saying 15. Because some of them might have had three or four children. And Jesus told them, okay, have them sit down in groups of 50. And he blessed the bread and out of his hand, it had five loaves of bread and three fish. This was a little boy's lunch. So I'm not talking about a loaf that reached to the ceiling. And he blessed it and said he just handed it out to the disciples to pass it out. And through his hand, that bread multiplied. That fish multiplied. And I'm thinking it was the best meal they ever had because, Jesus, God, does not half step. He doesn't give you the leftovers, the little tad bits. When they had manna, what they said, oh, this is the best food I ever had, until they got tired of it. So I can only imagine what this little bread and fish did. And he told the disciples, go out there and pick up the remains. And they brought back 12 baskets of leftover food, leftover bread. So Jesus goes and he goes up to the mountain. He said, I'm going to go up here and rest. But you all, go ahead, go over to Capernaum. And this is where the storm came up. It was a windstorm. The waters were rough. They were worried about dying. This is in all four of I think it's in three of the Gospels. And then one of them tells you that's where Peter got out and he walked on the water. And then he took his eyes off Jesus and started to sink. And when Jesus got on the boat, they were at land. They had been struggling for 6 to 8 hours trying to make it to the other place. I'm talking about rowing. These men, these manly men. Think about it. Peter, John, Andrew, they were all fishermen. They knew about this water. And they're struggling, talking about, we ain't going to make it. They're scared, and they see him walk across the water. They're like, oh, is this a ghost? And he came, and he saved them. He took them to land. And now we're coming to where the people wake up in the next morning, and they see Jesus is gone. And they all get up. There's some more boats have come in. They take the boats. They take off toward Capernaum. There are people running around the way. And this is what happens when they get to him. That was just the build up. That was my introductory. And now, as we read, I'm going to read verse 25 first, just to let you know that we are there. It says, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Okay, when did you get over here? I speak this stuff. Long time. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracle, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him has God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. They said, therefore, unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our father did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, even more, give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believed not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came not from heaven. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Okay. And as I said, Jesus is telling them, starting off back in verse 26, you know, they came and they did not see the miracle of the bread. I tell you, 5 loaves of bread, 3 fish, fed over 15,000 people. Their thing was, I told you it tasted good. They got up the next morning talking about, I'm hungry. Where'd he go? We want some more food. So when they came all the way around, when they caught the boats, when they walked around on the dry land, when they got there, they said, where'd you go? And Jesus knew their hearts. He said, you didn't come because of the miracles. You came for the food. And he tells them, you know, you're not to hunger after the regular food because he's giving you so much more. He's came to give you life itself. And, you know, don't get me wrong, but I can relate to those people. I grew up in church. I didn't want to always hear his word. Much less do it. You know, I was just like them. I would have wanted the food. Hook me up. That food was good. Let me eat some more. And every one of these people that are not saved, when he starts talking to them, matter of fact, none of them were saved. When he starts talking to them, he's talking to them about spiritual things. I got bread for you that will give you life. And you know what they said? He told them this. When you read the next chapter, he said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him has the Father sealed. Whew. Now he's telling them, you know, you got to look for other things than just this bread. Bread, hey, it'll mildew after a while. It'll perish. Jesus says, you need to be looking for this everlasting life. And he says, and I'm the one that's sealed by God the Father. Now, everybody doesn't know what sealed means. In those days, when they sent a letter, and you were a governor, you were somebody, a big shot, you had a signet ring. It means it had your personal sign on it. And they would melt wax on the letter, and then they would put it on there to say, this is authentic. This is true. He says, I am sealed by the Father. The Father God. He didn't say just the Father. He said the Father God. Now, you would think now they saw the miracles, and he's reminding them it's not just the food. You didn't come for them because I did the miracle. You came for the food, but the miracle is what you were supposed to pay attention to. Just in this case. In all the cases, he doesn't always use a miracle to save someone. Like I told you about the lady at the well, he used no miracle. When he talked to Nicodemus, he didn't use a miracle. He just told him. And I told you one of the three things that show that he is God was that, the second one was it said that God gave him the words and the miracles to do, to verify him. But you know what these people say? As soon as they get this, and he says, now I'm sealed by the Father God. That should be enough to get. Back then, most people would have wanted to kill you if you said that. Because you're saying, God touched me. God has put his hand on me. Now, these are the same people I want you to understand. They've been looking for a Messiah for years. And Moses told them, you know, he said, and I believe it's Deuteronomy 18:18. He told them, he said, there's going to be someone that comes that's going to tell you all things. That's why that lady at the well got it. She went back and she told everybody, somebody came and he told me all about me. Now, I said it lightly, but I can only imagine because I got a microphone on because I'd have been running back. He told me all about me. I want y'all to know because it said the whole village came out. And then they believed on him because they said, you know, we got what you said, but now that we talk to him, we got it. And it's funny because these are the people. They're Samaritans. They hate the Jews. They're half-breeds. But they got it. When he talks to the Jewish people, the people that's supposed to understand, sometimes that's us church members. It might be me. We don't get it. Because what did they do after he said that? After he told them, I'm sealed by God the Father. And he's put in their memory that he's already done the miracle. And that he's got the living bread. He's going to give them life. And in verse 28, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Whew. All this stuff messed me up. I'm sorry, y'all. I had to get my woo in there. But these are arrogant people. What do you have to do to work the work of God? See, the worst thing I can figure out, if I do something, I want him to be the one doing it, not through me. Not me, but doing it through me. Because when you say, you know, he's working the work, I'm working this work for God. you know, God owes me. God does not owe us. I believe it's Ephesians chapter 2. Anybody know that verse where he says, it's not going to be by your works? He said, none of your works are going to count for anything because it's me that gives it to you. Now, that's Barry's interpretation of that verse, just to let you know. That's not his word verbatim. But these folks are going, what can I do? I go over here, can I build this house? Can I pick somebody up? What are the works so that God will owe me so I can go? God's not going to do anything for us to owe him. There's nothing we can do for him to owe us. But these people, after he told them, I'm sealed to God, they said, well, you know, what can we do so we can do the works of God? And he has to tell them, because, see, they are not getting it. They have never been able to do works, even though they killed the lambs, they tried to keep the commandments, which none of them kept. None of us could even keep, unless God said, boom, I'm going to make him keep them. And we still find a way to mess that up. So, Jesus has to ask him in the next verse, and he says, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. Now, he's already told them, I'm sealed. I'm going to give you life. Do you think they would get that? You know, I used to always hear, you know, would you know if Jesus came into the room? I'm hoping so, because I'm trying to do the best I can to pray for him. If I can see him do the miracles and do this stuff, because he says there are even going to be some false ones that are going to fool some of his elected his children. So I'm not just going to go for the miracles. I got to see if he's doing his word. He was telling them God's word. He came to tell them a better view. See, I believe, like, you know, we say the fear of God. You know, a lot of people, I personally, this is just me, they say that's, you know, just respect. You respect God. You love God. To me, I got a little fear. Because, see, you got to remember, these are the same people that when he took them out of Egypt, and they know the story, he gave them 10 plagues. The last one was the plague of the firstborn being dying. They had to put the blood on the post of their doors. When Pharaoh came after him, he opened the Red Sea. He made him go the long way so that Pharaoh could do this. He wiped out the whole army. Like that, bam. And we take him for granted. He is love. But do you remember what happened when they, I'm just thinking now about Judges, the book of Judges. When you read it, what did they do? We're going to follow God. We're going to do God's work. We're going to, oh, wait a minute. Dad and died. I mean, what was he supposed to do? Oh, this is going to be my God over here. And then when they got in trouble, Oh, wait a minute. I remember him. God, why are you doing this to me? God, why can't I? Why are you letting us go through all this trouble? We're your people. Oh, you're my people now. See, I'm glad I ain't God, because I'd be telling you, yeah, well, let me give you a little bit more. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm a man. I got wrong feelings. I got wrong thoughts. God said, he kept sending them deliverers. That's what Judges is about. He kept sending them different judges. He kept delivering them from the, you know, it could be 20 years. They might do his work for 20 years. Then for 20 years, they wouldn't. Yeah, all them kites, they came in, the ites and kites came and got them. God used them to make them say. That's how come, like, when you're up, I try and praise God. When I'm down, I praise God. You know, I, like I said, I got two times to praise him, and that's really all the time. Whether it's good or bad, I'm going to praise him. These people know about this. They go on the Sabbath day, and they read this every Sabbath. And they talk about what are the works we can work. And Jesus told them, you know, those that believe on me, throughout all of the John, especially, he tells you, believe on me. You know, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir, but this is what sometimes we even lack. We can get doubts. We can get struggles. I'm way late. We might not finish this one. Okay. Let's see. Okay, as they said, I'm going to read 30 and 31. It says, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? Our father did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now, we're going to do the first part of this because, like I told you, these are some arrogant, hard-headed, stiff-necked people, just like me. Because they're still saying, what sign did you show us? You know, so what, we ate some good food. You know, we need a sign. Show me. I think they're from Missouri. Show me state. They don't get it. They didn't see him walk across the water. I give them that. But they've been hearing about him all this time. He's been healing people. He made lame people walk. He made blind people see. He healed lepers. Said a man had a withered hand. He made it whole. They've heard the stories. They already know. But, you know, you got to show me a sign. And then they said, to just make it a little better, well, you know what? This is my thought of what they're saying. Since you gave us that bread, what about our forefathers? You know what it says in the Bible? That he did give us manna in the wilderness for 40 years. Think about it. They had food that they didn't have to go out. And I was telling my wife, you know, they wanted bread. That's what the manna was for. Because they were shepherds, so they had sheep. They had goats. They had the different things to eat. But, you know, they wanted other stuff. After a while, don't get me wrong, after 40 years, I can understand that we'll need the manna no more. You, most of us can't eat the same thing for one every day a week. You know, you want to change. But he did all these things. You know, their clothes never wore out. Their shoes, they had to grow. Because, I mean, think about it. They had all these new kids coming up. Shoes never wore out. So they're saying, Jesus, you know, show us something like that. That was just a little thing that you did over there with that food, even though it was good. That's what they're saying. I mean, think about it. That's what we do when we don't want to do what God says to do. We slap him in the face. What does that mean, God? Show me something big. Something special. And Jesus replies back to that and says, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So he said, not only is this bread coming, it's here. It came down from heaven. And guess what it gives? The only one that gives life is God. No, nothing else gives life but God. He spoke and it came. Thus, Satan can do is destroy it, mess up stuff. The best we can do is same thing. Kill something. He said he came and he's the bread of life came down from heaven. And they're still, you know, they're like me, they're hard headed. Takes a while to get inside. They're still going, okay, well, you know, he's saying this, but, you know, who came down from heaven? Okay, but see, they didn't get that. We have after sight. They were standing there going, well, you know, he did give us the bread. And I could eat some more because I'm hungry still. You know, your stomach takes over. Might not yours, but mine does. And he and then said they unto him, even more, give us this bread. Are they getting it? They're still not getting what this bread is. He said it's going to come down from heaven. He's already told them, you know, I'm the one God sealed. I come to give life. But they still say, you know, give us this bread then. Let us eat it. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I'm going to finish the rest of that in a minute. But you think about what he just said. You know, when he said this to the woman at the well, they didn't even tell her name. She was a big time sinner. She had five husbands. And the one she was with, she wasn't even married to. And she got it. These people, he tells them, I am the bread of life. He didn't say, well, you know, I'm going to give you this bread. He said, I am the bread of life. Do you think they got this? Because they're going, I can't bite him. I can't chew on him. They're thinking physically. He said that you'll never thirst again. They're looking around talking about, I don't see no well, no glass of water, no pitcher. When we're talking to people that are not saved, this is what they're saying. Because they haven't got that light yet. And it took them a long time to give me that light. But these people are not getting it. And he's telling them to it. And, you know, even though in all the rest of them it's always parables, he's telling them straightforward who he is. I am the bread of life. He didn't skip around the thing and say, well, let me tell you this parable. John remembers him as God. John remembers God put these words in John's mouth so he could tell us who he was and what he's doing. And he says, but unto you that ye have seen me and believe not, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now I can imagine, I'm hoping there were some people that actually got it in that crowd. We're still talking, I don't know how many of the 15,000 made it. But these are the people that saw the miracle. They ate the bread. And when Jesus is talking to them now, he's telling them, I am the bread of life. I'm the one that came down from heaven. Because he told them that bread came down from heaven and it was going to give them life. I mean, that's plain. They still have hard hearts. I'm not going to get to go through all of it, but later on, you know what they're going to say? How are we going to eat his flesh and drink his blood? That's gross. That's what they said later on, because most of them left them. by the end of the chapter. Because they said, we can't take this. That's a hard thing to hear. I'm live. What is he talking about? What I love about this is that he lets you know that God has already picked who he's going to have. Out of that 5,000, I'm quite sure there were some that got it. It doesn't show us here. It's not like the lady at the well where it showed us someone just jumped up and said, oh, let me tell you. But it said most of them left. The majority of them left. Now, the whole thing about this was to get you to remember who Jesus is. He's the bread of life. As you go through John, he's the shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the door. Now, after you hear this, how are you supposed to live? Are you supposed to continue to be like these people? Where every time Jesus says something to you, you say, well, you know, it might be too hard to do. I don't see the miracle in it. Did he really say I had to do that? See, we're supposed to be reading his word. We're supposed to be able to not just tell other people about who he is, but we're supposed to be showing who he is. And you do that by, you know, Marcel gave a lecture that I need an accountability partner. Someone to keep me on my toes, to keep me, Brother Barry, you've been doing right? Brother Barry, you treating your wife right? Brother Barry, are you reading your word? Brother Barry, and he's not supposed, they're not supposed to be somebody, you know, like he said, it's supposed to be the same gender. You know, so that you can talk to somebody, you can relate. So that you can have somebody to keep you on your toes. Because let me tell you, I fall all the time. If you don't have somebody to help pick you up, I mean, Jesus is going to pick you up. But guess what he did? He made all of us. We have a reason for being here. To pick each other up. Hey, let me remind. Sometimes I might just need to be reminded who Christ is. Wait a minute. You know, because I got this thing like, you know, God shows out. I love it because I see it. But when you go, oh, man, it's snowing. My car ain't going to make it through the snow. I ain't got no tires. You know, I'll be going, Lord, you in control. You got this. He might give somebody, not only my tires might make it through it, but he might give somebody to come to me to say, here, brother, I got some tires. You want them? That's my God. He uses us. And if we're not helping each other, what good are we doing? Are we just walking around, you know, oh, well, I know Jesus. I got him. You say, I got him. No, he got me. And if he got me, I'm supposed to be lifting somebody up. He said, how did you know? I told the kids at Wayside this week, I said, well, do you know in Acts it said that they turned the world upside down? I mean, they changed everything that they were saying. You know, if you're rich, you dog out the poor. They gave all they had so everybody was taken care of. They showed love to one another. Let me help you do this. And the people said, whoa, what are they doing? I'll be trying to get in my house and do just my thing. You look at all the hospitals in the world. Most of them were made by Christians because they were out to help each other or to help those that couldn't make it. How should we live? We should live like we know what he said. He is sealed. God gave him the power. You know, I had people to say, you know, you know, did, then what would Jesus do? I have a thing where if I do something, if I'm going to do it good, I give it to him. Because then no matter how it come out, it's going to come out righteous. You know, Lord, the Lord told me to do this for you. Because if not, I get into that little proud thing. Look what I did. I laugh and I do my own thing. But when he's leading, I can lift anybody up. I mean, I can, it can be something I can't think I can even lift. But when God is in it, I might only need to use one finger. You think about it. I love the Old Testament because it shows Jesus in all the doing. When the tribe of Israel, you know, they wouldn't believe God. He said, go into the promised land. Oh, no, I can't do it. I like the two, Caleb and Joshua. Oh, hey, God said, we do it. We can wipe them out. Do you understand? They were slaves, so they didn't come in with all sorts of weapons. God, it says, when you read in Hebrews, it says in some of the places, it said the bees killed, messed up the soldiers. When you read in the Judges, you know, they busted lamps and the soldiers killed themselves. When they went to Jericho, they marched around the wall. Did you ever hear once that it said they went in there and fought those people? The walls fell down and the people said, I give up. That's my God. But you see, you got to do the part like the walking around the wall. The asking God to lead you. Because there was one fight where they were out there fighting and they were praying, God, whoo, it's too many of them. It said that he had them chase them and it started hailing. And it killed, more people were killed by the hail than the Israelites killed. That's my God. So today I want you to think about what you're going to do when you leave today. Are you going to truly believe him? Remember who he is? Are you truly going to try and tell somebody about him, help somebody? And they don't even have to be a Christian. You know, every day you should be trying to help somebody. And when you do it, don't do it and say, oh, look what I did for you. Say, look, you know what? God gave me the power to pull you out of that. God gave me the strength to help you. When you do that, do you know you're glorifying God? You lift him up. You know, I always heard, like, if you dig with a shovel, he digs with a truck. You dig with a spoon, he digs with a shovel. You can't outgive God. So don't let that hold you back. They look nasty. They look like, you know, they need help just like anybody else. Guess what? Who made them? God. Whose child is he? God. So who are we not to be there? And I do need an accountability partner. You need an accountability partner. We're not to be lone rangers. God didn't send one out and give him a mask and a hat and, yee-haw, go baby. Even the Lone Ranger had somebody. He had Tonto. Think about it. Okay. Thank you all for listening. But let's pray. And I pray God has done something in your heart. Because he's done it in mine. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we've had today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that your word is not falling on ears that don't hear, Lord. I pray that you would strengthen each and every person within the sound of my voice to know you and to do your will and to love you. Because, see, when we love you, it's not hard to do the stuff, to do the things you want us to do. So, Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless the services as they go. Lord, we thank you for the life that you brought into the world yesterday. We thank you for taking care of Brother Mike, and giving him with the transplant. Lord, you are such a mighty God, Lord. Help us to see the miracles that you are performing and remember who you are and what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.